Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, going right into the show, October 14th, 2010. Excuse me. And a few weeks of very interesting happenings, trying to get the show up on the air from where I was in some remote places, and then afterwards getting the archives up. Last week, I had a situation where the show was completed, but then I had a secondary location where the archive was being made, and then it was lost. So at any rate, this week everything's back to normal, and under the normal studio conditions. So at any rate, everything should be, the show should complete just fine, and also the archive should be placed on the page and as per normal, and then also distributed to the secondary places where this airs. Just remember that on Friday night at 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. Central Time, it airs at the 5.755 frequency, and also 3 a.m. Monday, Saturday morning Central Time. But the, of course, the live airing is the WWCR 9.350 on Thursday evening, right here where you're listening right now. So at any rate, some very interesting, I've done some traveling, I've done some observing, I've done some studying, and so what I try and bring to my audience is the latest information, really from hopefully around the globe, and then bring it back to you. What does it mean to you here? And a very interesting thing to watch is the exchange rate. Now, imagine going to a third world country and finding that the exchange rate is dropping in favor, very much in favor, on a daily basis in third world countries and their currency against the U.S. dollar. And this is something that's been going on for months. Also, you might notice that if you've listened to radio shows or just followed this in general, that gold and silver are skyrocketing at a very rapid rate. And so that really means that this is at a time when the U.S. economy should be booming as it approaches the holiday season. This is the time when, the economy should show its strongest and then falter a bit after the new year. So at any rate, I'll be talking about what I've come up with as a solution. And really, let's just put it in a nutshell. I just think this thing is going to collapse very shortly. I just don't see how what the banks are doing with the interest rate on credit cards. Most Americans, whether you do or not, the reality is that most Americans have credit. And what the banks are doing, due to the, basically after the Obama thing, when they put a date out there, they said credit card companies can charge as much as they want, but they have to give consumers a 2-month notice on changes in interest rates. So what did all the banks and the credit card companies do? They raised their rates to the maximum and they won't change them. So this has just destroyed absolutely single-handedly, in addition to about a dozen other factors, single-handedly destroyed the American economy. It can't move. Small businesses can't function. It's just impossible for this economy to continue. And once it's gotten to this point, it's terminal. It's like a terminal cancer patient cutting off his arm to eat. You know, it just can't go on. So at any rate, the point I'm going to be making tonight, if you've noticed on my webpage, I made an announcement and I'm bringing in a new product line. And this will continue on. I suspect it'll be an ongoing, like everything I do. It's something that I've thought out well in advance and done a lot of research. But I am now able to put on my webpage and sell the Mountain House freeze-dried food. And this is something that I'm just simply going to recommend to people, just saying that now is the time as you're, and especially if you're looking at buying Christmas presents or holiday presents, whatever, forget about the typical things that you would get and get something that's really going to be meaningful to your family or other people if you know somebody in college. This goes hand to hand with the water filters because you need water to hydrate this food. Now, this is not dehydrated food. This is freeze-dried. And you have to remember that dehydrated food has a different process than freeze-drying. And the military uses strictly freeze-dried food for a reason. It stores. It can freeze. It can thaw. It can be in any temperature. It's packed with nitrogen instead of a little bit of oxygen that might come in a regular type of freeze-dry packaging, but it's packed with nitrogen. So this has a shelf life of about 30 years. And also, I'll tell you, it's something that I've been using personally for a while as just regular food, just to try it out, and it tastes like regular food. All you need is water, and it's pre-cooked. You don't have to cook it. So you could actually just add water and eat it without cooking it, without heating it up. Of course, it's better if it's heated and with other things. But we're talking a, you know, potential collapse in society, in the economy, etc. And I just see this happening. I see it happening before Christmas. I see Congress is totally inept. People are hoping that they can elect someone and hopefully have something come out of the election. But as I say in the Diamond Principle, that it's the people who are hoping that the next election will somehow help something or do make a positive change, it's all at this point irrelevant. You might have some good people, that's always wonderful, but at this point it's terminal. As I said, a terminal cancer patient trying to cut his arm off to eat, that's the state of the United States right now, and the rest of the world is following. The conditions in third world countries right now are absolutely the worst they have been in a very, very long time. It's to see these people with absolutely no resources, no ability to get jobs, there's no money in the economy. Many of those countries have taken all of their resources and put it into military or military spending following the American model. And so there are a few people getting fabulously wealthy, and the rest of the people are just sitting there with nothing, just scraping in the dirt, literally. So the United States is very quickly becoming a third world country. So at any rate, the point of tonight's show, and I'll be talking also a little about some scientific issues about the sun, about weather, recent weather. But basically, things have been fairly tranquil in the solar system. And as far as our weather, we had a tropical storm that just kind of sat down off the Yucatan Peninsula for a number of days. But other than that, the storm situation has been relatively tranquil. We're now heading out of the hurricane season. We're in mid-October. The whole situation with weather is that the factors that affect weather, the real factors that affect weather, not the phony ones that you hear about on the Weather Channel or from the National Weather Service. I'm talking about the real factors, the electrical factors that affect hurricane formation and major storm formation. They're just not here. They're just not available. And so you find minor storms, but pretty much I'd say that we could still have some major activity, and you can never tell when the sun is going to erupt. We just had a major prominence come up, about 6 days ago, the 8th of October. The sun kicked out a very major prominence on one of the northwest limb, I believe it was. Major prominence, but then again, it flew off in a direction not affecting Earth, not coming close to Earth. So basically, in general, a very tranquil solar system. If you have been in the Midwest recently of the United States, incredible, wonderful, clear weather, weeks of way above normal temperatures. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about why this is. it's a very strange situation with the sun. And finally, NASA has published some verifiable results. I'll be talking about that. Essentially, the ultraviolet condition of the sun is dropping, the amount of energy coming out of the sun in the ultraviolet region of the spectrum, but the visible part of the spectrum is increasing. And so the situation is as follows. The part of the solar spectrum that heats Earth is the visible spectrum. So this is very unusual. The overall energy of the sun is decreasing. Now, the sun has been assumed to be a black body. Now, let me explain what that is. In physics, there is a term called black body. Let's take your iron. Everybody's familiar with the iron. You iron clothes with it. It's kind of a shiny metal surface, and it gets hot. It heats up. It's a piece of flat metal. Now, let's put that iron in, plug it into the wall, turn it up to, say, cotton or wool, one of your favorite settings, and let it heat up, and it's sitting there up in the air like an iron. You set it on the backside, so to speak. The heat from the iron is coming off. It's a radiation, a radiative heat, in the form of infrared radiation. And now, if you got that iron hot enough, it would start to glow orange, then yellow, then go through the various colors of the rainbow up until the point it became white hot. And white hot means it contains all of the colors, including ultraviolet, etc., and probably x-rays, which your eyes cannot see. But at any rate, let's talk about exactly what happens with a black body. The iron, in a sense, is called a black body. It gives off radiation based on heat. And there, it's very well understood theoretically. It's very well understood experimentally, where the temperature is related to the energy of the system, of the iron. And the curves, the energy curves that are related to this relative to frequency of light or wavelength of light, these frequency curves, these energy curves are very well known and understood, and they're very very easily duplicated, whether you're in Russia or the United States. It doesn't matter, because it's very well understood. But the sun now has been claimed by standard science to be a black body. In other words, the heat comes from the core of the sun. This is their concept, which is really totally wrong, and you're going to see just another example of why that concept has to be wrong. But anyway, the fusion heat, they say, is deep in the core of the sun, and it works its way up to the surface, where it then is dissipated through various forms of energy dissipation. But the point is that the curve, the light curve, the energy curve, so to speak, is very well understood. And the temperature, the surface temperature of the sun, is around 6,000 degrees. So that would be if your iron attained a temperature of about 6,000 degrees, it would all of a sudden start to glow with the same color characteristics as the sun. But there's one problem. The sun does not have that characteristic curve. It's very different. And then now the sun, in fact, is cooling down. But, let me add this, as the sun cools down, as your iron cools down, and as you would measure the electromagnetic spectrum, the light spectrum that's coming off of that iron, as the temperature drops down, all along that energy curve, at every frequency, at every wavelength of light, the energy is dropping down. It's becoming less. But we have the unusual situation now with the sun, where the energy of the sun in the ultraviolet range is dropping, which is normal, but the energy output in the visible range is increasing, which is contrary to the theoretical and experimental observations of the black body concept, something that's very well understood, very duplicatable in the laboratory, etc. So something else is going on with the sun, something very strange. And so something is acting very much unlike what the sun should be acting like. Let me just go back to the core model of the sun, where they believe that the fusion is at the core of the sun. Well, if that's the case, then the heat has to migrate out to the surface. We've did this in college in physics classes. Calculate the amount of time it takes X-ray energy emanating from the central core of the sun out to the surface, because that's the main transport mechanism for the energy. How long does it take that energy to reach the surface of the sun from that central core? And it turns out to be about 1 million years. The other half of the problem is how uniform is the surface of the sun? How uniform is the energy at the surface of the sun after that 1 million years? And the answer is that it's extremely uniform. It doesn't change. It doesn't change over a 1 or 2 month period. As you see that the 1 million years, would, if there were any oscillations, it would be on the period of maybe 10,000 years, not 100 years or not a couple days, as we're seeing now. So something very different is going on with the sun, and of course the real answer is that the fusion in the sun is not at its core, it's up at the surface. Something else very different is going on. So it's just another, just one of hundreds of reasons why the sun solar model, where the energy is at the core, it just does not work. But at any rate, the point is that right now the solar energy output has been decreasing, and this does not include the electrical component, something that standard science doesn't understand, does not include, and therefore that's why they don't understand the real reason for weather. How can you understand and predict weather when the major factors in the production of weather are not included in your models? It's absolutely absurd. And the point is that electrical conditions in the solar system drive much of our weather, and the solar energy output is a minor factor. But when you start talking about a decrease in ultraviolet radiation but an increase in visible radiation, then you have to look for some very serious answers relative to what's going on with the sun. And it has not been, it's not been accomplished. It hasn't been, really understood by the standard science community. Because, first of all, you have to understand that the energy source is not at the core. How can you possibly have correct science when the basic fundamental source of energy is totally incorrect? It's just absolutely amazing. So at any rate, back to the conditions at the end of the hurricane season. Unless something major happens, a solar flare, a comet coming through the solar system, a big one that's totally unexpected, causing Earth alignments with the electric field of the comet, unless something major happens, we're just going to kind of float to the end of the hurricane season with not a whole lot happening. And of course, things can become turbulent out there, things can change rapidly, so predicting is not exactly easy. But the point is that over the course of the year of the hurricane season, this past hurricane season, really not a lot happened. A very ho-hum, a very mild hurricane season, in spite of the fact that NOAA and the National Hurricane Prediction Center predicted major storm, one of the worst years in the past 20 or 30 years. But then again, remember that they can also classify storms that are really not storms. They can classify them as storms just to fill out their statistics. Most of us should be so lucky as to be able to do that type of thing to look good on the job. Okay, so at any rate, the sun appears to be very quiet. There was a prominence this past week, about a week ago, 6 days ago, and but not Earth affecting. Okay, let's talk just a couple other quick news announcements. Spaceship Two, which is the spacecraft that, remember, Spaceship One, Burt Rutan, won the X Prize, went into outer space 2 times in succession within a, I think, a 6-day period, won the $10 million Ansari X Prize for going into space with a commercial spacecraft. Now the second generation spacecraft, which is much bigger, can hold quite a few people, passengers and pilots, took its first flight into outer space, a test flight, which is puts them on the road to actually commercializing space, selling tickets for a ride in outer space. So if you're rich enough, which I'm not, I'm probably not going to be doing that for a while at any rate, I'm not going to be able to go on that ride unless someone were generous enough to let me go. I would very much like to go up there and take astronomical cameras and equipment and do a bit of astrophotography. But at any rate, I consider that a major step, that the commercialization of outer space. And hopefully one day, they do have what I would consider, for the technology of today that's proven, the best combination. A jet that takes off from a runway, carries the space vehicle up to about 50,000 feet and drops it off, where a single rocket engine then takes it up to low Earth orbit. So that's a major accomplishment. Also, just to mention, I was walking by through an office just the other day, and I saw a Time magazine, and it had a picture of this very scary-looking person on there, very terrorist-looking or whatever, talking about extremism in militants. And so, of course, what they're trying to do is put fear in the heart of the public relative to militias. And I got a kick out of this because it reminded me of the old Robin Hood days, when Robin Hood was stealing from the rich and from the sheriff and giving it to the poor. And the situation was that they tried the very same technique to make him into the outlaw, the wolf's head, or whatever the terms that they had for outlaws at the time, to make them look bad. But really, they were the Robin Hood concept was popular with the populace, certainly not with the government, certainly not with the police or the sheriff, and certainly not with the troops that were part of the entourage of the king. So the point is that this is nothing new, this type of advertisement or bad blood, so to speak, because the government right now is on very shaky terms. And the only thing they are able to do is cause trouble, fake terrorism, on and on, all of these problems. And so someone who openly opposes them is not exactly welcome. There's a long history of the government fearing the populace. And I love the movie V, where there's a statement in there that begins the movie and ends the movie. It says, people should not fear their government, the government should fear the people. And so we're actually getting to that point, because obviously if there were any type of physical disaster, the governments would not fare too well, because they depend on paying their troops out of the coffers. And if there's really nothing functioning in terms of the government, you have to understand the militias are there because they want to be. The people working for the government are there because they get a paycheck. So if that paycheck ends, their motive for being there really isn't there anymore. They would rather be home with their families taking care of them. So at any rate, there's nothing new, that and it's been well known from the dawn of time, that a person living in their own country, defending their house and their immediate surroundings, is a far more aggressive person in defending his home and his family, etc., than a person who's a hired mercenary, because that person, his allegiance is to a small amount of money he gets every week, and if all of a sudden it becomes his life or the amount of money that he's getting, the amount of money is not commensurate with his life. And I don't care who you are or what country you're coming from, that is going to be a universal concept. So at any rate, interesting to see that the amount of effort being put into striking fear in the public, I would put it that way, regarding militias. And really, if you look in this country, there's no history in modern times of militias doing anything bad. So why would you have to badmouth militias? They haven't really done anything. The ones that we've seen have been attacked by the government. If you look at, I just won't go into details, but you all know of the various cases. The groups have been attacked by the government, not vice versa. So at any rate, it's very clear that the government must be getting very nervous because of the extensive coverage in Time magazine, something that almost everybody in this country will see, a magazine like Time magazine. So just a heads up, those are all signs of the time. And so when you see the government starting to publish and print material that is against the basically local people, because that's what a militia is. It's simply a group of people. They're just exercising their rights, and they are being feared by the government. So what does that tell you about the government? If the government weren't up to something, why would they fear? It's kind of the reverse psychology of, remember that people would say, well, oh, all these oppressive laws don't bother me because I'm not doing anything wrong, so why should they bother me? It's kind of the same flip kind of argument. Why should the government worry about militias if they're not doing anything wrong that would cause a reaction in the militias? Because once again, the militias, they're just people that live here. So it's making them sound like they're from somewhere else. I always love when they give the news and they talk about the insurgents. Insurgents, by its very meaning, it's by very the very heart of the word, comes from somebody coming from outside. Insurgents, they're from outside, they're coming inside to cause trouble. But you find that the term is used for people in Iraq, Iran, in Afghanistan, who the people who live there. How can somebody who lives in the country be called an insurgent? But that's the kind of wordplay that's being used. And of course, the point is, why all the coverage all of a sudden regarding militias, to cause fear and loathing in the public regarding militias? Well, that just kind of gives you a sign of the time and the type of activities that we might be on the doorstep of. Of course, when the economy collapses, it's going to be a situation where the big government truck is not going to roll down the street and help you. And of course, the people in that are not the goofy Planet X people, that there are the government plants, so to speak, but the people who are sane and just talk rationally about the concept of Planet X and many Planet X objects, it's very well known, it's very well understood that if anything would come into the solar system, it would be preempted by government activities to shut down rights of the public, to keep and bottle the public, because the government very much fears the public, and the people in governments want to maintain their power before and after any events, no matter what the scope of those events might be. They want to come out on the other side in the leadership roles, so to speak, because, well, they're basically living, them and all their friends are living off the good graces and hard work of all the real people out there. So at any rate, with that in mind, and as I said, with some traveling to quite a few places over the past month, and I'm finally back and very happy to be resting up, and with a bit of effort, I've been able to pick up the product line of Mountain House freeze-dried food. And I'll be posting that on my webpage with incentives for, hopefully for water filters and other types of combinations, because the one thing you're going to need, besides the fact that you can now have food, the fact is that you will need, when you open one of these cans, you're going to need water. You don't want to use a river sludge to combine with your freeze-dried food, and so it's something that goes well with what I'm already doing. And it's something like everything else I'm doing with the flax, with the books. There are things I believe in. It's not just something to sell. Of course, people might need flashlights. They might need other items out there. But the point is that this is something that you and your family need. I was talking with some people in the freeze-dried business the other day, and they have what they call the rule of three. 3 seconds, or no, I'm sorry, 3 minutes without, 3 minutes without breathing and you're dead. 3 days without water and you're not doing very well if you're not dead. And then 3 weeks without food and you are dead. So the point is, there are things that you need. You need to breathe, you need water, and you need food. After that, other things become essential. But if you don't have those, forget it. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to recover. So the one nice thing about these, and as I said, I'm using these on a regular basis now, not every night. No, I have, you know, like everybody else, the ability to get fresh food and whatnot. But I've been using these in basically very simple things. There's basically the meat and the freeze-dried meat, and there's chicken, there's hamburger, and those are excellent. They don't weigh much. I also been taking my flax. That's something that I find is very essential, and the more I talk to people who are taking flax on a regular basis, it's something that is just, it just becomes part of your daily diet, and you realize that that is a very important food, as a contributing factor to your diet. In fact, you could live literally on flax, a scoop of flax per day, and you could actually live on that. So I think that's a very important concept. And of course, eventually all of this runs out. You have to have something planned on the other side. But if you don't have something for the immediate here and now, you're never going to get to the other side. It's a reality. And so, for example, some of these, most people know what a coffee can looks like. It's like the 3 pound, I think it's a 3 pound coffee can. And that size of container, that's the size of cans that come with the Mountain House food. And so you open one up with a can opener, and now it's open, so you have a number of weeks to consume that. But there's two philosophies. One is that you should have enough so you can eat like you normally eat, but and that would be good. So if you had the storage facilities, if you had the space, if you had the wherewithal to get food for the next 5 years and store it up, that would be wonderful. But what do you do if you're just an average person out there? Well, a case or two is going to get you a long way of, say, the freeze-dried meat, either chicken or, say, hamburger or beef. Those would get you a long way. And so you really don't want to think in terms of cost per serving, although it's listed like that on the homepage. You don't want to think in terms of cost per meal, but you want to just think of how much money do you have to invest right now. And here's another point. A lot of people want to hedge their money in gold and silver, but I've yet to see anybody who has a good time eating gold and silver. So if you have everything else in line, then I would say start looking at gold and silver and other things. But the average person, if you're like me, you're not going to be very wealthy. And the other thing is gold and silver are used for actually for two things. They're used to guard against inflation. Like right now, the dollar is dropping like a rock. So the people who have their money in silver, it's worth more relative to the dollar, but the silver really isn't changing in value. It's the dollar that's changing in value. So you have to understand that concept so that the silver and the gold purchases are made to hedge against inflation. And number two, for a long-term commodity that you can have, so that if you come out the other side of this someday, of the economic drop, for example, you would have something to get started with, and silver and gold would be the closest thing to a guaranteed money exchange that you could find. It's guaranteed that just the way our society and structure is set up, that those are going to have value in the future. And so those are the two reasons that you want gold and silver. You're probably not going to be grocery shopping. And here's another point. In talking to, say, people who have commodities like freeze-dried food, who have, say, grain stored or things like that, very, very few of them are going to be set up to accept gold and silver as payment, because they're going to have to turn around and pay their bills, and their creditors are not set up. Somewhere along the line very quickly, you're not going to be successful in using gold and silver to buy things. It's for two things: for hedging your money against inflation, so that's something you just sit on for a long-term period of time, or it's also used to carry your wealth far into the future, so that if there's a major economic collapse or social collapse, when it comes out the other side, you have your gold and silver, and you are sitting quite well relative to the rest of the people who just eked a living out coming through this, say, a bad social or economic time. But as far as eating, you're not going to eat any better or worse than the guy that doesn't have any silver. There's a quote from the, I believe, the Bible. I don't have the exact verse, etc., but it talks about a man who traded all of his wealth for the head of a donkey to make soup for his family. So he had a lot of gold stored up, but it was like, the person who had the donkey to sell took a lot of gold and silver to part with that particular piece of food that could be used for food. So once again, the situation is such that gold and silver is a good investment for the right reasons. But if you want to make an investment in something, the first thing I would invest in is something that you can eat, clean water, and that would carry you through the immediate times of being able to eat. Sprouting seeds is a very good investment, because you can not only eat them, you can plant them. You have a little garden, and say next summer have a garden, and carry those seeds through to the next year, non-hybrid seeds. I would say that would be a very important investment. So sprouts, which I don't sell. There are many places that are professional, their business is selling sprouts. So, and it's a very particular business. It's something that there's a lot of quality control. Understand that the Mountain House freeze-dried food is a little different for me, because it's manufactured under very high standards, and you keep the cans closed. You once you open it, you might have a few weeks to use the meat or the product out of the can. But basically, it's kind of a no-brainer. You put it in the corner and it sits there, and if you forget about it for 30 years, you come back, you open up that can, it's going to be just like the day that you bought it. Very well preserved and very usable. High food quality. So it's in a type of investment, I would say, on the level, this is a very much a simplification, but I would say the investment in Mountain House food is equivalent to the investment in gold and silver. The only difference is, you can eat it. There's a big difference there. You can put salt and pepper on it and eat it. You can store it. It'll store just like gold and silver. It's not much bulkier than gold and silver. But the very much the point is, yeah, you can eat it. And it's also something of value. It's something that is much closer to home. So if you don't have food, and some people might have, say you live in a small apartment, then you might have one or two or three boxes. It's cases. These come in cases of six. They're called number 10 cans. They're about the size of a 3-pound coffee can. It's called a number 10 can, which is a standard in the industry. So if you wanted to look up the size of these, you could look that up on the internet, a number 10 can. It's just a very standard size. But, you know, two or three cases of these, they come six in a box, and two or three boxes or cases of these would stack up easily in anybody's closet. And it would provide you with a food that would last for a long time. And if you didn't use it, it would just sit there. It'd be something. And here's another thing that I've learned about preparedness. Once you prepare, you don't have to do it again. It's something that you do, you get ready, it's taken care of. Now you go about your daily business. And the other thing about preparedness, food or anything, is that you should use it. You shouldn't just put it in the closet and say, well, I'm never going to touch this again. Your water filter, your freeze-dried food, your flax, you should be using on a daily basis, because not only are they survival items, but they're good for you. If you're just drinking water out of the tap and drinking fluoridated water, if you're eating food that has chemicals or treated food, or if you're if you don't have good vitamins and minerals and oils in your diet that you would get from flax, then you're really not. These are things that you need on a daily basis. So this is not just emergency. This is something you should be doing all the time. And then if there is an emergency, there's no big change in your lifestyle. You're already doing it. You've already eaten some cold, freeze-dried food. You've already used your water filter. You know how to, you know that it's going to be there for you, and exactly how to use it and how to clean the filter elements and how to take them out and replace them. And it's just right there. You've already done this. There's no preparedness at the time when there's emergency, because the worst thing in the world is all of a sudden there's a disaster, and so you go to the closet where you've been storing your water filter in a box, and you take it out, and you realize that you really don't know how to put this thing together. You don't know how it works. You don't know what the flow rate is. How much water are you going to get out of this per day? How many people do you have in your house? Is this going to be enough water? How many filter elements are you going to have in your water filter, or one or two or whatever? And the point is that how do you become prepared overnight when after an emergency happens? So that just is not good planning. So you should be doing this all the time. You should have freeze-dried food. You should be using it all the time. You should have your water filter on your kitchen counter, using it all the time. You should take that water filter on vacation with you to camping or whatever you're doing. Or if you go to a resort in a foreign country, if you go on a travel say you're in a business person and you travel a lot, the one thing you should have is that water filter. I knew some kids this past summer that took a water filter with them on a camping trip. And they were at they're hiking and going along, and they got to a certain point, and they met up with some other campers, and the other camper said, "Gee, what are you guys doing for water?" And they showed them the water filter, and they're like, "Wow, I can't believe that. You people have clean water." They would set up camp at night, pour the water in from a spring or a natural source into the water filter. By morning, they would have plenty of fresh water. They would fill up their canteens, and they would empty out the water filter and continue on the hiking or whatever. And then every day they had fresh water. And this guy looked at them like, "This is amazing. You have something that you can carry with you. It's light. And every day you have fresh water on your camping trip. Well, that's just like an emergency situation where imagine carrying water. Water is very heavy. It's very hard to manage, to contain it, to keep it clean. But if you have every day, you can take a water source from someplace else and pour it in there and get fresh water, you have something that's much more valuable than all the gold and silver in the world. Because if you know, it's something that you need. So at any rate, I'm just very happy to introduce this, the Mountain House freeze-dried food. And remember, basically, I picked a number of things that I think everybody should have, and the major items. And of course, they have a very extensive product line. And now there's also a gluten-free. I'm going to include that to see how people like it. If it's something that people very much like, then I'll continue it on the webpage. If not, I'll just go with the standard freeze-dried foods. And there's a way to plan for this also. There's a way to calculate how much food you need. And it's something that I've done. It's something you say, okay, how many days, how many people, how many days do you think you're going to need this? And the best thing to do, of course, is to get through a year. Now, I've talked about the flax before, and that if you had a case of flax per year per person, you could survive on these 4 gallons that come with the flax, comes with 4 plastic gallons, and you could survive a year on that. I don't think I'd want to do that, but you could, and you would come out the other side relatively healthy. That's another important aspect. There's a lot of people that believe you should plan to eat as much food in an emergency situation as you normally eat in a non-emergency situation. Because, in an emergency situation, you're going to be under more stress, you're going to need more food, you're going to need more energy than you do in a non-emergency situation. So to plan for an emergency with too little food is probably not a very good idea. Food from the store, let's talk about just regular canned goods that have liquid in them, very hard to store, very hard to carry, and they're typically stamped with a shelf life. I just went through some of my cupboards here, and some of the cans in the back were quite old. Basically threw them out. The other thing with canned food with liquids in them is that if they freeze, they go bad. I had this experience recently where some of the canned goods froze, and when you open them up, they basically look like somewhat okay food, but once you start eating it, you go, oh no, this is bad, this is not good. The freezing breaks down the cellular part of the food, whether it's protein, meat, or vegetables. It breaks it down and it becomes kind of a sloppy mush, let's put it that way. Freeze-dried food doesn't do that. And another thing, an emergency situation, you're probably not going to have climate control. If you do, then you probably got a lot more food stored up than just freeze-dried food. But the point is that, yeah, you're probably not going to have climate control, temperature control. And so you need a type of food that's not going to go bad if it freezes. And that's the other thing. Some people might say, well, I live in an area where it doesn't freeze. Well, just think of those people in Cuba this past year. Wasn't it the past year that it got down below 32? And people lost a lot of food. All kinds of things broke because they weren't used to having those kind of temperatures in a tropical climate. So you just don't know. You can't be make too many assumptions about what it might be like if you were caught in an emergency. So there again, you need something that'll go through those times and come out the other side just as good as when it went in there. And then once again, that's freeze-dried food. So basically, when the show ends, I thought this would all be on my webpage at this time, but it's not quite ready to go. So sometime this evening, probably later this evening, my web page, the sales page, will be uploaded with the new updates. And so, and then also we're going to try and provide some incentives with the freeze-dried food. If you buy a certain amount, then you can get a discount points, so to speak, towards a water filter. And some of you might have already have water filters, so but this would benefit people who basically have not purchased a water filter, because you're going to need a water filter along with the freeze-dried food. They go together. One is not very good without the other. If you have good fresh water and no food, you're probably not going to do very well. If you have freeze-dried food and sludgy water, not a good idea either. These very much go hand in hand, and I've been talking with people this week, and I can't stress that enough, that these are essential things. They're things that you're going to need. And information in my books, that's the one thing that I think sets my books apart from anything else that you will find any place on the market, including the copycat people who try and copy my work and pretend like they're great authors. But the point is that the information I put out is real. It shows how the solar system works. And if we have major catastrophes, it very much could involve the workings of the solar system. It very much could involve your necessity to understand the electrical conditions in the solar system. And if you understand them, you can possibly be much better off, just because you understand that, for example, the high winds that might come along with some kind of celestial storm or comet passing or other type of situation in the solar system, that you're not going to get that information from the government news agencies or the private news agencies that hover around the government. The Weather Channel, the Discovery, or any of the other government, basically, they may not be government supported, but they're very much in cahoots, one might say, with government information or misinformation regarding science. Remember, it's the garbage tier two science that they want to hand off to the public. The Big Bang and comets are dirty snowballs, all of this that the solar system formed 4.5 billion years ago, all of these things are necessary bad science to keep the public stupid. Because if they can keep them from understanding the true nature of science, then they can destroy their history. They can tell you that the history that you're aware of is that the history they're teaching in the schools is correct. And it basically distances people, the populace, from their real heritage, which is the fact that things do come through the solar system, they become big comets, and they have caused damage to Earth and the other planets. So this is a situation where, let's take another example, I've always talked about this, that if you understood the electrical nature of the solar system, you would also understand that that power is available for us at Earth. And we don't need oil, we don't need coal, we don't need nuclear power. All of this is very readily available for our use in a passive sense. In other words, all you have to build is the facility, and all of a sudden, voila, for all time, you have free energy. And of course, it would suppose that there's maintenance involved, but the biggest source of, the biggest point is that your source of energy, instead of burning coal, instead of burning oil, instead of burning propane, instead of burning nuclear fuel, the energy is already there. You're just tapping into what's already there. It makes complete sense. That's one of the big points of my new book, The Diamond Principle, is that the natural course and the design of the universe is set up for easy living. This life is not supposed to be crazy and goofy and nuts. It's just the people who happen to be in charge, that's the only way they can keep their modus operandi going. It's the only way they can keep in charge, is to keep you out there stupid and running up and down the street every day with a SUV burning gasoline and thinking that we need to fight a war in the Middle East. And yet you're supposed to send your kids to that war, and they're fighting for your freedom. If they can fool you into doing that, they've succeeded. And if they only fool 100,000 or 200,000 young men and women into doing that, they've succeeded. They've run the country with a minority number of, vastly minority number of people. So at any rate, and I think we're very much heading into those kind of times right now. I really think so. And that's why I went around. I did some traveling. I do apologize about the shows in the last couple of weeks, that they weren't really, there were some of the shows were partial shows. Some of them, the archives didn't get up there. So at any rate, but tonight we're starting back on track. And I think this edition of the Mountain House freeze-dried food is extremely important, and I'm going to do everything. By the way, as far as mail order, I just want to tell people, because of the quantities involved, these are relatively, typically going to be much higher dollar orders than the typical small orders like a book. So I'm only going to be selling this online. It's not going to be available through mail order, unfortunately. But there are reasons for that. There also, if the reason is, one of the big reasons, if I got a big check in, I would have to hold it. And so, till it cleared, that kind of thing. Even with a bank check, a lot of times you have to hold them. So the point is that the only ordering will be done online with credit card. So, and then also I would encourage groups to get together, to do large orders, because, it would be more efficient to have it shipped to one location and then distribute it when it gets there. So if you have a group of some kind, a church group or another group, just a study group or whatever you might have, get together with them and then put it in on one single order to somebody that's got a credit card, and then reimburse those people, and that'll make the shipping more expedient. Typically, we're going to ask that you allow 14 days for the processing and the delivery of these items. And so you want to, I would say, order early. And as I said, put this in place of ordering perfume or socks or a tie for your suit. Instead of doing that, order the freeze-dried food and water filters and become prepared. Once you do that, you're going to be a much happier person. Start using these on a daily basis and start understanding, because, as I said, with a catastrophe or an emergency or a government, well, something goofy that they pull, you're going to need to take care of yourself and your loved ones. I'm just about out of time here. So this is, for me, been a very exciting night to introduce this. And we'll be back with more science information next week. Real science, the type that you don't hear anyplace else. But check my webpage, JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.